That's right. So the Lakers win last night. They beat the Clippers 103-101. LeBron scored the go-ahead basket. Then he D'd up Kawhi, switched on to Paul George. Here is my favorite play-by-play announcer on the call.
Jackson brings it into Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi one-on-one with LeBron. Kawhi still dribbling. Kawhi dribbles into the paint. Kawhi steps back. The Lakers have Paul George. George is out near half court. 2 seconds left. 1 second left. Three for the win. And no good. Was a foul called? No. And the Lakers win it. 103-101.
LeBron forced Paul George into an impossible shot.
Mace, not only that, he guarded both players.
Yeah.
He guarded Kawhi, and when Kawhi picked up his dribble, he switched over and guarded Paul George. And I said at the top of the show today, and I've now seen all four of these games, Lakers-Clippers, what seems to decide them is which one of the four superstars comes up big in the end. Either LeBron, Anthony Davis, Paul George, or Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi was the guy in the first two games. LeBron and AD have been the guys in the last two, and last night it was LeBron.
Yeah, LeBron finished last night. Didn't have a great shooting night early on, but finished last night. AD had a great game, 34 points, 8 rebounds. Kuzma was great off the bench, 4 of 7 from 3, and Deion Waiters had 11 on 5 of 10 from the field. So they got nice bench contribution from Kuzma and Deion Waiters and LeBron and AD. LeBron finished and AD had just a monster game. Lakers 50-14 now, best record in the West. 6-game lead over the Clippers. Clippers are 44-21, and Denver is within 2 games of them currently.
One game.
For the number 3 seed. Is it one?
Yeah, they were a game and a half up until last night, and depending on what happens with Denver today. Has Denver already played today? I don't know. That whenever they play, they can cut it to a half.
Cut it to a half, yeah. So Clippers are clinging to the 2 seed.
Now, Ben Mace, we should point out that it doesn't really matter if the Clippers drop to the 3.
Nah.
Because they'd still be in the other side of the bracket. But if they drop to the 4, which is a possibility, then they would play the Lakers in the second round. So, and I don't think either team wants that.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, want them on the other side of the bracket.
Yeah, meanwhile, Dodgers beat the Diamondbacks 6-3 last night to start a 4-game series. Big night at the plate for Pollock, Seager, and Muncy.
Pollock lifts a fly ball to left field that sends Peralta back at the wall. There it goes! Skyscraping home run for A.J. Pollock. He stays hot, and the Dodgers lead 3-0 here in the first inning. Turns on this ball, lifts it deep to right field. Calhoun's back, and Seager's gotten Ray. A deep home run, and the Dodgers lead 4-0. 7th pitch to Muncy. Lifted to left center field. Marte going back on it, turning and watching it go. Max Muncy with an opposite field home run that just kept on carrying. And the Dodgers lead at 6-1 on Muncy's third.
Ross Stripling didn't give him a great start. 5 1/3 innings, 3 earned runs, but the bullpen threw 3 2/3, allowing just 1 hit. Dodgers are 5-2, tied for first in the West. Here's Dave Roberts with his impressions so far of this 5-2 Dodger team.
We've really pitched well. I think that's the thing that I'm probably most pleased with, the starting pitching. The pen really stood out. But we prepare every night to win a game, and the preparation never wavers, but I think the pitching has really stood out.
And the Dodgers are in Arizona again tonight. We got word that Clayton Kershaw is going to pitch that Sunday game, so he's been dealing with a back injury. In the end, he probably misses just one start. And meanwhile, John, baseball is in crisis today.
And Jeff Passan reporting earlier today that the head of the players union, Tony Clark, received a call from Rob Manfred. And Manfred has basically told him, look, you better get your players to start taking these COVID restrictions seriously, or we might have to shut down the season. We're up to 20 people in the Miami Marlins traveling party who have tested positive for COVID-19. Mace, there have been 3 games postponed tonight because of COVID-related testing. And it in the story today, Jeff Passan says that they've been watching these games on TV, and the players just aren't following the rules. They're high-fiving, they're spitting, they're not supposed to be doing either one of those things. The Marlins, it's being reported by several sources, may have gone out in the town or maybe hung out in the hotel bar in Atlanta, which may have started their run. Steven Souza, who is an outfielder for the Cubs, tweeted about 20 minutes ago, and he now has over 1,000 likes on this tweet.
Yep.
Every player in this league better take a hard look at what you're doing off the field, because what you do affects more than just you and your team. Your decisions off the field will put all of our seasons in jeopardy this year. And maybe the players are going to get it, but you and I talked yesterday. If it turns out, and it can be proven, that the Marlins went out, if they all went out to a club or a bar, or you know, they basically ignored the rules and went out, I would just take them out of the tournament.
Yeah.
I would just say, you know what, we'll go with 29 teams, and that's it. And, I mean, they're a bad team. They're not going to make the playoffs. They don't have any star players. Nobody likes them. Nobody wants to go to Miami.
Nobody likes them. Not even in their town anybody likes them.
Right. Nobody wants to go to Miami because Miami's a COVID hotspot. If these idiots aren't smart enough to stay out of the bars, just take them out. They did that with women's soccer. They did it with men's soccer. It wouldn't be an unprecedented. They had to take teams out because they had too many positive tests for COVID. I would, if the Marlins, if it turns out that they ignored the rules and went out, I would take them off the board. Wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would. I would. If they were that reckless, you know, it's selfish. It's reckless. It is you're showing a disregard for the other people that play your game during a very difficult time. Yeah, I would have no problem with taking them off the board. By the way, Milwaukee, here's the bright side for baseball. And I know Manfred went hard. Daddy Rob went very hard on everybody. But the latest report from the league and union on coronavirus testing, there are 29 positive tests through Thursday. 21 are Marlins. So the Marlins are the big, if it weren't for the Marlins outbreak, baseball would actually be doing pretty good. You're going to have cases. They knew there were going to be cases. That's why they have 30-man rosters. That's why they have 30-man taxi squads. They knew there would be cases. They just didn't plan for 20 positive tests on one team. That's reckless disregard for the entire operation.
Yeah, and you know, we had Joe Davis on last week, and Joe mentioned that he was doing games from the Dodger Stadium booth, even the road games. Like tonight, him and Oral will be in the Dodger Stadium booth doing those games.
Yeah, that must be surreal.
Well, this story just broke, Mace. The Texas Rangers say broadcaster Matt Hicks is among three people who have recently worked in the home radio booth who've tested positive for COVID.
No.
They opened a new field, a new stadium this month. Their last home game was last Wednesday. Now another one of their broadcasters, Eric Nadel, who had already tested negative, has opted out of working this weekend's road games against the Giants from Globe Life Field. So it's, you know, it affects everybody.
Yeah.
And if the Marlins ignored, you know, I keep thinking about that Lou Williams story, because as I mentioned to you, I covered Lou for a couple of years when he played for the Lakers. I like him. He's a good guy. But what he did going to Magic City to pick up wings, and Lou swears he just went there for the food, says he wasn't going to a strip club to see strippers. He was just going there to get food. But still, think of all the better ways he could have handled that. Even if he really wanted the wings, you know, you could call Grubhub.
Yeah.
you could send someone else. I mean, it seems like people have got to be smarter here.
And for the most part, NBA players have been smart. I mean, they've taken time away from the bubble for personal reasons or whatever, and then they've served their quarantine. That's what they need to do. And Lou, you know, the NBA handled Lemon Pepper Lou the right way. They basically said 10 days quarantine, which is what it requires if you go somewhere.
Now, if the Clippers, they lost last night, so they're 0-1, they got seven seeding games left. If the Clippers drop to, let's say, 4 or 5 and go to the other side of the bracket, Lou and Montrezl Harrell, we don't know why Montrez is out of the bubble, but Lou and Montrezl Harrell could have a big reason why that happens. Those guys are both six man of the year candidates.
Yep.
So, I mean, you would think that you would... And again, I like Lou personally, but you would think you'd think more of your teammates than to put yourself through that quarantine.
Now you're taking my side of sanctity of the bubble to protect everybody else.
I think sanctity of the bubble is a pipe dream.
Lemon Pepper Lou has proved it's a pipe dream, but that is what they need.
Yeah, but it's not viable. We've now
It might not work then.
Right.
I mean, that's what the Marlins did. They went out in the town. If somebody violates the sanctity of the bubble and goes out somewhere and picks up coronavirus, then brings it back, gives it to his teammates, then that team plays somebody, and then that team is exposed. I mean, it's just you need one dumb move to screw the whole thing up.
Yeah,
the Marlins clearly had multiple dumb moves that led to 19 or 20.
It's now 20 people in the traveling
20
party.
Cases. Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, we're only going until 6 o'clock tonight. We've got the Angels and the Astros. Are you actually going to boo the Astros from your house?
Boo!
Yeah. And if you missed the big news yesterday, we'll tell you all about it next. But Mason and I are moving.
Yes.
We're going to a different part of the day. We'll lay all that out for you coming up.
Yep. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland. What is going on? It is we've been saying for months it's all happening. Now it's officially all happening. And that includes a move back to where we love, John.
Right. We're going back to middays. It's not going to be exactly the same as the schedule is now. We're getting a whole new lineup on August 17th. So basically what's going to happen on August 17th is Keyshawn is moving. Matter of fact, he moved today. Keyshawn is moving back to New York City, where he's going to host the network morning show. You may have seen Mike Golic at his last day today on Mike and Mike. Keyshawn is going into that slot, and he's going to do a show with Zubin Mehente and Jay Williams that's going to go from 6 to 10. Then, after that, Mike Greenberg's coming back to the radio.
Love Greenberg. He's awesome.
He's going to do a couple hours. Is he just doing 1 hour, or is he doing two?
2 hours.
Okay, so he's doing
9 to 11.
Oh, so Keyshawn's going 6 to 9.
Yeah.
Okay, so Greeny's doing 9 to 11, and then Max is doing 11 to 1.
Max Kellerman, that's right, is back on the station. He's coming on next week to talk about his new show.
And then Mason and I are going 1 to 4.
Best show there is.
Sedano is going to team up with LC Granderson and go 4 to 7. And then when the Lakers aren't playing, Scott Kaplan, who filled in for the past couple of weeks, is going to do the night show from 7 to 10. So that is the new lineup. And the most important part of all that for you to remember is that Mason and I are moving 1 to 4.
Yeah, that's the primary thing we want you to take away. We're moving 1 to 4, and it will happen 2 weeks from Monday, the 17th of August, which is basically the start of the NBA playoffs. So a great time to be moving into a new time slot.
Yeah, the play-in tournament, if they have one, is going to be the weekend before that, and then the Lakers' earliest possible playoff start is that day, August 17th. So we may have a Laker game that day also. It may be even a bigger day than we know.
I'm getting a lot of grief on Twitter from Clippers fans. I tweeted, if Kuzma, 16 points, and Deion Waiters, 11 points, come off the bench and do what they did last night, nobody is going to beat the Lakers, and nobody in the league has an answer for AD, and that includes the Clippers. And Clipper fans have rallied against me, John. Rallied against me.
What's their main point?
Their main point is we didn't have Lemon Pepper Lou and we didn't have Montrezl Harrell. You haven't seen the full complement of weapons that the Clippers have, and they were still a shot away from beating the Lakers last night.
Except that right before the shutdown, the Clippers did have their full complement of players, including Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell, and the Lakers beat them then too.
Correct.
Beat them on the Sunday before the shutdown. So if you beat them with everybody in a game that was two games, well, on the schedule, Mace, it was 3 games ago. They've played twice in the last 3 games. It was Clippers. They Lakers ended up losing to the Nets, and then they beat the Clippers again.
Correct.
So they now have defeat. So I'm not buying that the Clippers automatically win that game if they have Lou and Montrezl Harrell, because they had them on March 8th and they didn't win anyway. The Lakers and the Clippers
they will
are
be better.
Close.
They will be better and they will be tougher. And I think I honestly believe it's a 7-game series when it happens. I mean, I think it's going to be very chippy and it's going to be a 7-game series.
And I think what will determine it, who wins it, is which one of the four superstars takes over the game at the end. In the first game, that was Kawhi. In the second game, it was Kawhi and Paul George. The third one, LeBron and AD took it over, and last night it was LeBron on both ends of the floor. Hit the game-winning shot, then came down and locked up both Kawhi and Paul George to guarantee the victory. And this is the argument, Mace, that you and I get into about Giannis.
Yes.
You are absolutely convinced that Giannis is going to lead Milwaukee to the finals and maybe even win it.
Yes.
The problem with that is he's never done it before. And until you do it, that is a box that you need to check. Last year, Kawhi just took him out. Now, Kawhi has moved to the West. But there's only a handful of people who can perform at that level with the game on the line in the playoffs. And so until Giannis does it, he's going to be, you know, everybody's going to say, like Toronto, for example, is the team the Lakers play tomorrow. Toronto, when Giannis played them last year, beat them 4 straight games because they made Giannis shoot outside. Giannis in the paint is the most unstoppable. He's basically Shaq. He's the most unstoppable force in the league. If you push him outside the paint and make him shoot, or make someone else beat you, Milwaukee hasn't proven they can do that yet. Now,
okay,
that doesn't mean they can't.
Yeah.
But they haven't proven it yet.
And I think they're going to. And by the way, so does Vegas. Milwaukee is minus 185 to come out of the East. In other words, you bet 185 to win 100. The next pick is Boston. They are plus 550. Bet 100 to win 550. It makes Milwaukee an enormous favorite to come out of the East. And the ESPN experts that all lined up their picks, 16 picks, 13 of them picked Milwaukee to go to the finals. There were a couple that picked Toronto. But Milwaukee is an overwhelming favorite.
I think only one of them picked Toronto.
Only one?
Yeah, but let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Why do you think Milwaukee, who has the best record in the league, and has a top three offense and a top three defense, it's the only team in the league that can say that, why do you think the Lakers and the Clippers are favored to beat them in the finals?
Well, is that true?
Yes. Just Google Vegas NBA odds.
Okay. What I've said before is that I think the team that comes out of the West is going to win the title. Milwaukee's got a clear shot to the finals.
Right.
So Milwaukee, that's why.
But the reason.
Lakers Clippers is close to flip a coin. I like the Lakers to win it, but it's close to flip a coin.
I agree.
Milwaukee going to the finals, I think, is just a red carpet. I think they're going to the finals.
I think Toronto's going to give them a little trouble. Pascal Siakam might be the most underrated player in the league. And I think Nick Nurse, the coach that took Giannis out last year, is just going to tell Siakam and Serge Ibaka, look, do not let him go into the paint.
Right.
If we lose to them some other way, if Chris Middleton beats us, we'll live with it. But don't let him go in the paint, and that's going to be an interesting series. The other team that can match up with them defensively is Miami. Bam Adebayo can give him fits. So let's see if they – I don't think it's, as you described it, a red carpet ride. But going back to the question I asked you, I think the reason the Lakers and the Clippers have better odds to win it all than Milwaukee is that they both have star players who have done it before. Milwaukee doesn't. Kawhi and LeBron, if either one of them wins it, they will become the first guy ever – to lead 3 different teams to an NBA title.
Yes.
And be the best player on that team.
Sure.
So until if Giannis does it this year, then he joins that club.
Yeah, I mean, somebody's there. There has to be a first time.
No, there doesn't.
Sure, there has to be a first
time. Wait a minute.
Giannis, they've got the best record in the league. Only 12 teams have figured out the game plan you described, where you keep Giannis out of the paint. They've succeeded 53 times and failed 12 times.
Right.
They obviously can win. They can beat anybody in that conference and probably have.
Right, but to get back to your point, there has to be a first time. There doesn't. Ask Patrick Ewing. When was his first
time? With LeBron, there was a first time.
No, but where? But what
with,
I'm saying...
Yeah, with Kawhi, there was a first time.
What I'm saying is that there are certain guys who are unbelievable players who can't win a title. Ask Charles Barkley. Where's his ring? Ask Patrick Ewing.
It's with Michael Jordan.
Yeah, right, because they ran into Michael Jordan. If Giannis has to prove he's one of those
but
guys.
See, you're not making the you're making a different point. I'm saying Milwaukee's going to the finals. You're saying
that they're not necessarily going to win it, and they may not even get there.
Yeah, I think they'll get to the final. I'll bet in the East. I'll take Milwaukee versus the field, and I win that bet going away. By the way, it's not much of a bet.
Yeah,
Milwaukee's a heavy favorite to go.
There's
to the finals.
There's no value.
Yeah, there's no value at all in that. All right, let's do this. So we got a chance to see our first Lakers game last night, and we took some calls last hour. Let's do it again. Your impressions of last night. Do you agree with me and John that the Lakers will come out of the West and win the title? What did they show you last night? 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-ESPN. Then we got Game of Games, and then we're going to go to Angels Baseball. Mason, Ireland, 710-ESPN. 710 Los Angeles Sports. What's going on, Mason, Ireland? Thanks a lot for listening. We appreciate you being out there. Don't forget, our new time slot is 1 to 4 p.m. It'll start August the 17th. We couldn't be more excited about our move and the whole station lineup. I want to point out, John, you and I did the Culture Pop podcast last week.
Yes.
With you interviewing me, and we are within 1,000 downloads of it being the all-time most downloaded Culture Pop podcast.
That's what I'm talking about.
So go to stevemason.com, click on subscribe for iTunes or Spotify. It's a great podcast. It's very personal. It's very frank, and you'll love it.
Hey, Funches, are you there?
He's probably answering.
I'm here.
Yeah.
Hey, what song did you just play coming in? Was that,
Buster Poindexter?
Yeah, hot. Yeah.
Boy, I haven't heard that song in probably 25 years.
I put that in, John, because I was looking for songs that were good for the summertime.
The Mason Summer Collection.
Yeah,
Summer's playlist.
You know, last week we were talking about one-hit wonders. He's a one-hit wonder, right? He never had another hit besides
Had another hit. You're absolutely right.
All right, let's get we're talking Lakers-Clippers and the Lakers win last night. Let's get Zach from Hollywood in here. Hey, Zach, you're on ESPN LA 710. Hi.
Mason, Ireland. Good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Zach.
Really quickly, this is my first time getting through to the show. Let me just say thank you, guys. I was at the Steve Mason roast, and it was really an honor because it's probably the last time you guys will publicly shake hands like that.
That is, you know what, Zach? That is probably true. I have adopted the Larry David bow.
Well, if you think about it, all of our future station appearances handshakes are gone. It's going to be, for me, it's going to be elbow bump. That's what I'm going with. John Ireland and Michael Thompson are going with the Japanese-inspired bow.
Well, that'll work. And one more thing, John, by the way, I'm the gentleman that came up and asked you to sign the T-shirt for my future son, if that maybe rings a bell that evening.
Oh, yeah, of course, Zach.
Yes.
Yeah, so, I'm glad
thank
you picked
you guys
up the phone. All right.
Yeah.
So,
with that being said, I'm not really here to discuss, the Clippers, Lakers, between the two teams. I'm just here to kind of ask you guys a question in regards to where I'm at with it and get your guys' opinion on what you think.
Sure.
I must be the only person in Los Angeles that is a Lakers and a Clippers fan, guys. I mean, I love L.A. Now,
what
I do
is
feel
wrong with you? That's like
Zach, I don't think you're the only one. Ramona is.
Well, Ramona's on Ballmer's payroll.
But she roots for both teams.
Yes, she does. But she's picking the Lakers to win it all.
Yeah. So, Zach, you're not the only one. I actually want the Lakers and Clippers to meet in the Western Conference Finals. Mason wants someone else to beat the Clippers. Mason wants to deprive Los Angeles of L.A. versus L.A.
Yeah, but what I want is the easiest road to an NBA championship, and I think the Clippers are the biggest hurdle for them to clear.
Well,
so when push comes to shove, you say you like both. When push comes to shove, if they're playing, who will you root for?
That's a great question, Steve. I am a Lakers fan at heart, and I can tell just by the way I feel when they play each other. You know, like last night, I can tell by the way I feel, come on, Lakers, you know, let's get this win. So I know that I'm a Lakers fan at heart. But let me ask you guys this, Steve, you particularly.
Yep.
If it was the Los Angeles Clippers, and I won't say Boston in the final, I won't go there, but let's say, you know, the Clippers, you know, against, you know, be it the Raptors or 70, whichever East Coast team, would you really not root for the Los Angeles team because you know, your displeasure toward the Clippers?
Let me answer that question. I don't care what team from the East it is. I'm rooting for them.
I despise the Clippers. You would not root for the Celtics.
The Celtics is a really tough call.
Celtics?
Yeah, I would root for a tie, but I'm rooting against the Clippers.
You would root for the finals to somehow be canceled.
Yes, correct.
Lakers, Clippers. All right.
Not another pandemic. Anyway,
no pandemic rooting. No one's allowed to root for the pandemic. Hey, Zach, thank you for calling, and
thanks for
coming to
the
roast,
phone, man.
Appreciate it. Let's get Brandon from Inglewood in here. Hey, Brandon, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, John. Hey, Mace. So I want to give you three quick reasons why I feel like the Lakers will win. I mean, we've seen these games, right? They're close enough, right? So you need these little things that's going to separate and make a difference. And I'm a Laker fan, so I think these things will be the difference.
Okay,
right?
What do you got?
Okay, so you got LeBron James, first of all. He's still proven that he can close out games, and he's still the best player in the NBA. So you got LeBron. That's number one. Number two, you have team chemistry, right? The Lakers have shown that they have great team chemistry. They get along with each other. They're really rooting for each other. No one is being selfish. You haven't heard anything this year at all from anyone, right? Even guys like Kyle Kuzma, who's playing for a contract, you haven't heard anything from him, right? He just wants to win. These guys just want to win. And then the third thing, I think people are forgetting about this. We haven't forgot about Kobe, right? We know Kobe passed away. Rest in peace, Kobe. But I think LeBron James and those guys, they still are going for Kobe, and they're going to take it, and those are going to be the three difference makers.
All right, Brandon, thanks, man.
Those are all good reasons. Yeah.
You
know what he's going for? He's going for the intangibles there. The intangibles are these guys love each other. I think it was Mark Spears said today that the Lakers are louder as a team than everybody else he has seen so far. They're enthusiastic. They have fun. They obviously like each other. And, yes, I think – the idea of winning for Kobe is a powerful idea.
All right, coming up next is Game of Games. I have locked up the July Game of Games title, so I will not be competing. I will be administering the game. And, Mason, if you have any – you have fizzled out in July like you never have before. You gave away a game with a tremendous blunder. And then when you needed to win, when your back was to the wall, you laid an egg twice.
Yep.
So if you have any pride, you will salvage on July 31st the final game of game for this month.
So the score for July, Ireland 7 games, Mason 4 games, Lindsay 4 games, Funch 3 games. Now, that means Lindsay and I are playing for second place.
Very, but you don't want to finish last.
Don't want to finish last. Oh, and Funch can tie us if it's Funch Day.
Ooh.
We can finish in a three-way tie for the month of July.
Okay.
But John has clinched it. John has put it away. Congratulations.
He's very proud.
That's fine. We're still practicing. Game of Games is next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 Los Angeles Sports. What's going on, Mason in Ireland? Thanks a lot for listening. We appreciate you being out there. Don't forget, our new time slot is 1 to 4 p.m. It'll start August the 17th. We couldn't be more excited about our move and the whole station lineup. I want to point out, John, you and I did the Culture Pop podcast last week.
Yeah.
With you interviewing me, and we are within 1,000 downloads of it being the all-time most downloaded Culture Pop podcast.
That's what I'm talking about.
So go to stevemason.com, click on subscribe for iTunes or Spotify. It's a great podcast. It's very personal. It's very frank, and you'll love it.
Hey, Funches, are you there? He's probably in.
I'm here. Yeah.
Hey, what song did you just play coming in? Was that,
Buster Poindexter?
Yeah, Hot. Yeah.
Boy, I haven't heard that song in probably 25 years.
I put that in, John, because I was looking for songs that were good for the summertime.
The Mason Summer Collection.
Yeah, summer's playlist.
You know, last week we were talking about one-hit wonders. He's a one-hit wonder, right? He never had another hit besides
Had another hit. You're absolutely right.
All right, let's get we're talking Lakers-Clippers and the Lakers win last night. Let's get Zach from Hollywood in here. Hey, Zach, you're on ESPN LA 710. Hi.
Mason Ireland, good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Zach.
Really quickly, this is my first time getting through to the show. Let me just say thank you, guys. I was at the Steve Mason roast, and it was really an honor because it's probably the last time you guys will publicly shake hands like that.
That is, you know what, Zach? That is probably true. I have adopted the Larry David bow.
Well, if you think about it, all of our future station appearances handshakes are gone. It's going to be, for me, it's going to be elbow bump. That's what I'm going with. John Ireland and Michael Thompson are going with the Japanese inspired bow.
Well, that'll work. And one more thing, John, by the way, I'm the gentleman that came up and asked you to sign the t-shirt for my future son, if that maybe rings a bell that evening.
Oh yeah, of course, Zach.
Yes.
Yeah, so, I'm glad
you picked up
the phone. All right.
Yeah. So, with that being said, I'm not really here to discuss, the Clippers, Lakers, between the two teams. I'm just here to kind of ask you guys a question in regards to where I'm at with it and get your guys' opinion on what you think.
Sure.
I must be the only person in Los Angeles that is a Lakers and a Clippers fan, guys. I mean, I love L.A. Now,
What is wrong with you? That's like
Zach, I don't think you're the only one. Ramona is.
Well, Ramona's on Ballmer's payroll.
But she roots for both teams.
Yes, she does. But she's picking the Lakers to win it all.
Yeah. So, Zach, you're not the only one. I actually want the Lakers and Clippers to meet in the Western Conference Finals. Mason wants someone else to beat the Clippers. Mason wants to deprive Los Angeles of L.A. versus L.A.
Yeah, but what I want is the easiest road to an NBA championship, and I think the Clippers are the biggest hurdle for them to clear.
Well,
so when push comes to shove, you say you like both. When push comes to shove, if they're playing, who will you root for?
That's a great question, Steve. I am a Lakers fan at heart, and I can tell just by the way I feel when they play each other. You know, like last night, I can tell by the way I feel, come on, Lakers, you know, let's get this win. So I know that I'm a Lakers fan at heart. But let me ask you guys this, Steve, you particularly.
Yep.
If it was the Los Angeles Clippers, and I won't say Boston in the final, I won't go there, but let's say, you know, the Clippers – you know, against, be it the Raptors or 70, whichever East Coast team, would you really not root for the Los Angeles team because your displeasure toward the Clippers?
Let me answer that question. I don't care what team from the East it is. I'm rooting for them.
You would not root for the Clippers. You would not root for the Celtics.
The Celtics is a really tough call. Yeah, I would root for a tie, but I'm rooting against the Clippers.
You would root for the finals to somehow be canceled.
Yes, correct.
Lakers, Clippers. All right.
Not another pandemic. Anyway,
no pandemic rooting. No one's allowed to root for the pandemic. Hey, Zach, thank you for calling, and
thanks for
coming to
the
roast,
phone, man.
Appreciate it. Let's get Brandon from Inglewood in here. Hey, Brandon, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, John. Hey, Mace.
So I want to give you three quick reasons why I feel like the Lakers will win. I mean, we've seen these games, right? They're close enough, right? So you need these little things that's going to separate and make a difference. And I'm a Laker fan, so I think these things will be the difference.
Okay,
right?
What do you got?
Okay, so you got LeBron James, first of all. He's still proven that he can close out games, and he's still the best player in the NBA. So you got LeBron. That's number one. Number two, you have team chemistry, right? The Lakers have shown that they have great team chemistry. They get along with each other. They're really rooting for each other. No one is being selfish. You haven't heard anything this year at all from anyone, right? Even guys like Kyle Kuzma, who's playing for a contract, you haven't heard anything from him, right? He just wants to win. These guys just want to win. And then the third thing, I think people are forgetting about this. We haven't forgot about Kobe, right? We know Kobe passed away. Rest in peace, Kobe. But I think LeBron James and those guys, they still are going for Kobe, and they're going to take it, and those are going to be the three difference makers.
All right, Brandon. Thanks, man. Those are all good reasons.
Yeah. You know what he's going for? He's going for the intangibles there. The intangibles are these guys love each other. I think it was Mark Spears said today that the Lakers are louder as a team than everybody else he has seen so far. They're enthusiastic. They have fun. They obviously like each other. And, yes, I think the idea of winning for Kobe is a powerful idea.
All right. Coming up next is Game of Games. I have locked up the July Game of Games title. So I will not be competing. I will be administering the game. And Mason, if you have any, you have fizzled out in July like you never have before. You gave away a game with a tremendous blunder. And then when you needed to win, when your back was to the wall, you laid an egg twice.
Yep.
So if you have any pride, you will salvage on July 31st the final Game of Game for this month.
So the score for July, Ireland 7 games, Mason 4 games, Lindsay 4 games, Funch 3 games. Now, that means Lindsay and I are playing for second place.
But you don't want to finish last.
Don't want to finish last. Oh, and Funch can tie us if it's Funch Day.
Ooh.
We can finish in a three-way tie for the month of July.
Okay.
But John has clinched it. John has put it away. Congratulations.
He's very proud.
That's fine. We're still practicing. Game of Games is next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. That's right. I know what time it is. Game of Games time. We got Angels baseball coming up for you in a couple of minutes. In the meantime, we play for our lives. Game of Games. Now, it's Ireland's game today. Me and Lindsay have four each. That means the winner of Game of Games today, if it's Lindsay or me, you finish second in the month. Now, you know what my dad would always say? There are only two places in every race, first and last, so we still finish last, but it will feel a little bit easier to come up with five wins for the month. John, describe the game.
Okay, so the game today is, now that the NBA is coming back, I stole one of TNT's favorite games. Who he play for? I'll give you the name of an athlete.
Okay.
You guys tell me what team he plays for. Now, unlike TNT, I've included other sports here.
Okay,
so these won't all be NBA questions. It'll be very soon. Now, your name is your buzzer. All right? So if you want to take a shot and guess who this athlete plays for, which team, buzz in with your name. Here we go. There's seven of these, and then there's a tiebreaker.
Okay.
Former Angels outfielder Cole Calhoun. Who did he play for? Mason.
Arizona Diamondbacks.
Mason is on the board 1-0. All right. Former Laker Ed Davis. Who he play for?
Ooh.
Anybody want to take a shot?
Funch. Minnesota.
Incorrect.
Mace. Washington.
Incorrect. Lindsay, you want to take a shot?
Detroit Pistons.
All reasonable guesses. The answer, the Utah Jazz.
Oh,
the Utah Jazz.
Right.
Mason maintains a 1-0 lead. Former Rams defensive end Dante Fowler, who he played for? Mason.
Plays for Jacksonville.
Incorrect.
Funch.
Falcons is correct. Mace, he used to play for Jacksonville.
Yeah, that's
right. Okay. All right, Mason won. Funchess one. Lindsay, you still out there?
Yeah.
All right, this one's for you.
Yeah.
former Cy Young winner Cole Hamels, who he play for?
Mason. Plays for Atlanta.
Correct. And Mason takes a 2-1 lead. All right, next one. Former Laker Julius Randle.
Mason. Funch.
I think it was Funch. Funch?
Knicks. Oh. Knicks.
New York Knicks is correct, and it's 2-2.
That was so me.
Oh, you're still tied for the lead.
I must be on delay. I'm on a delay. Hello? Hello? Am I in delay?
Someone say something?
It's okay. I'm on a phone.
Yeah, okay. Right.
I think you guys have the advantage.
All right. The man who provided me with my favorite soundbite of all time.
Mason.
Mace.
He plays for Buffalo.
Incorrect. It's former Rams cornerback Nickell Roby-Coleman.
Mace, I know that's your favorite soundbite.
You did it again. He used to play for Buffalo. You made the same mistake, but he plays for a different team now. Lindsay or Funch, you want to take a shot at Nickell Roby-Coleman? Lindsay.
Philadelphia?
Yes!
Oh!
Lindsay is in it. He plays for the Eagles. Way to go, Lindsay.
That was a complete and random guess, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I guess because of Big Daddy.
All right. That was very impressive.
It's Buffalo, Philadelphia. Never mind.
All right. So the score now. Mason 2. Funch is 2. Lindsay 1. Here it is. Lindsay, I should just tell you, or I'll tell any of you if you want to jump it, this guy is a baseball player. Former Dodgers catcher Kyle Farmer.
Lindsay.
Lindsay.
Does he play for the Reds?
Yes!
Yes, that's right. That's right.
It's a 2-2 tie. What
it's a
comeback
thriller.
By
it's a
Lindsay.
Thriller.
All right. So, this is just a tiebreaker question. I'm just looking for a number here. How many different franchises has former Laker forward Trevor Ariza played for in his career?
Mason.
No, you guys are all going to get a guess. Lindsay,
oh, okay.
Lindsay, how many?
Seven.
Mace.
Six.
Funch.
Eight.
Close.
The correct answer, he has played for New York, Orlando, the Lakers, Houston, New Orleans, Washington, Phoenix, Sacramento, and Portland.
Oh,
9 teams
Funch!
And Michael Funches.
Boom, baby.
It's Funch Day.
And it's a 3-way tie for second.
Finally.
And Funch with a historic comeback. He needed to do almost, you almost ran the table, Funch, but you finished second.
I know.
A tremendous week, man. Way to go.
If Bronson didn't win that game this week, I would have, I think I would have ran the table.
Yeah, the final score for the month of July, Ireland 7, Mason 4, Lindsay 4, Funch 4. Bronny did steal that one.
And Brian Kamenetsky with one.
And Brian Kamenetsky did win one as a fill-in guy. Yep.
All right.
So there you have it. There's your game of games.
Okay, so let me get to a couple of things before we got to head over to the Angel game. Speaking of the Angels, Mace, did you see where the Angels took Mike Trout off the roster and put him on paternity leave?
Yeah, he's going to – his wife is about to have their first child, and so that was expected that he was going to leave.
Correct. So the Angels will be without –
and the Angels are off to a bad start.
Right. And Shohei Ohtani has started to find his bat, but his one pitching outing was awful. He didn't get an out. He didn't retire a batter. So Mike Trout will not be – when you listen to the game tonight, Mike Trout will be noticeably missing. And, of course, the Astros are coming off losing two straight games to the Dodgers. And this was the game, Mace. Theoretically, the Astros were supposed to open in Anaheim against the Angels. And remember, you were going to take a group of listeners.
Yes.
And a Dodger fan group actually ended up buying an entire section of seats at Angel Stadium, and they were going to go down to boo the Astros. But when the pandemic came, it wiped out fans and obviously wiped out the dream. But you would have been
at Angel Stadium for this Angels-Astros fiasco.
Yep.
And you would have been booing the Astros in person. But didn't happen. The other story that we just glanced over, the Pac-12 announced today that they're going to try and play football, a 10-game season, conference only. So the Pac, that would mean in the Pac-12, Mace, you would play every school except one, right?
Yes, correct.
So you'd be one school you would miss. And the strangest thing about the Pac-12 announcing they're going to play a 10-game schedule, all conference, is that USC-UCLA, for the first time ever, is scheduled for week one.
Now, that is just weird.
September 26th. Now, as part of the announcement, they said that they could move that week one, if they're not ready to play in September, to either October 31st or even December 12th if they needed to extend the season. So it may not happen on the 26th. Mace, I'm wondering if it's going to happen at all. Do you think this works, the Pac-12 playing football?
I don't think college football works. I think the NFL, there's a chance because they can afford the amount of testing that's going to be. I mean, you're going to need daily tests like they have in the NBA and like they have in Major League Baseball. And by the way, Major League Baseball, it's, you know, there are 28 positive tests that they're dealing with right now. So you got to figure. I mean, I saw that story over the weekend. I'm sure you saw that on Fraternity Row at USC, they had a big party and 40 kids came back with coronavirus. So I think it's going to be really tough at the college level to play football and maintain the health of the players. And let's be honest, the players are the ones on the front lines. These are 18 to 22-year-old kids that are playing football. They've got scholarships, but they're not being paid, but they are on the front lines, and their health has to be a paramount concern for football governing bodies.
Well, and think about this. Unlike the NFL, these college players aren't paid.
Right.
You know, they're not, this isn't their profession. They're playing college football. So, I wonder, they're making money for somebody else in this scenario. Now, you could argue they're getting a scholarship. That's what, you know, old school college football coaches argue. But every school I know is talking about going online in the fall. You obviously can't play football online.
Yeah.
And I wonder if it's fair to ask these kids in the Pac-12 conference to play football at all. I'm not sure it is.
Yeah, yeah. A couple other things to throw in. LAFC and Orlando City Soccer Club are scoreless in the 53rd minute, so all quiet there.
Are we streaming that game?
We are streaming that game. There have been a lot of questions. Hey, what's going on the stream? I can't hear your show. We're streaming LAFC. On the ESPN app. So
and if they win, they go to the semifinals, right? They're within two games of winning the whole
Correct.
Tournament?
Two games of winning the MLS is back tournament. So keep track of that this weekend. Tomorrow, we've got NBA basketball for you. Lakers tomorrow and Raptors, which is a great matchup. The Raptors have been unbelievable despite the fact that they lose Kawhi Leonard from last season's championship team. Tomorrow, 4 o'clock pregame, 5:30 tip.
Mace, they're on pace to win more regular season games than any Raptors team ever, even more than the team that won last year. And they beat the Lakers at Staples Center in November without Serge Ibaka and Kyle Lowry. So this is a real game. And a real test for the Lakers. Now, the question is, if you're Frank Vogel...
Yeah, how hard do you go at this?
Not.
Yeah,
I think
you
that,
don't.
That what you bought yourself last night was the right to play... My number for AD and LeBron for these last seven seeding games is 25 to 30 minutes.
Yep.
I think that's about right for those guys.
All right, so Lakers basketball coming up for you tomorrow. We're back Monday at 2:55 sharp. Coming up next for you is... Angels baseball, Angels versus the evil, hated, trash can banging Astros.
Cheaters!
See you Monday, 7:10 ESPN.